Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Is it a Browns Therapy Monday? Or, sorry, Browns Therapy Thursday? Now that the schedule came out, I feel like we're having that kind of a reaction today, and I know one man who's going to have that reaction and also going to talk to us about the Indians and baseball in general. He is Joe Posnanski, and he's got a book coming out, Baseball 100. That's going to be in September, but he knows the Indians and Browns, and that's why we love talking to him. He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Joe, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Joe.
Outstanding. Hey, all right, Joe, before we get to the baseball, and I want to talk about your book coming out here in September, your thoughts on the Browns schedule release yesterday and what you think when you look at that Browns schedule?
Well, you know, I mean, look, we've talked about this a lot of times on this show. I look at that schedule, and I don't see a game the Browns can't win. And I can't remember the last time. I mean, obviously, nobody's going to have them favored over the Chiefs or a couple of the other games. Packers are going to be tough on Christmas and so on. But, you know, the way this team played in the playoffs, the way this team played last year, I think it was a pretty good draft. I don't know how you guys felt, but I thought that was really looked like to me it would improve the defense, added a playmaker. I'm fired up. I kind of feel like the Browns should be in every game. And obviously there could be a setback and fall back, and you know, we know how these things go. But I looked at that schedule, and I got pretty excited. I kind of feel like the Browns are ready to take that next step.
And, Joe, that's kind of refreshing, because I know everybody kind of wanted to jump the gun in previous years, you know, recent years. And I always thought in the back of my mind, yeah, they're not quite there yet. They're not quite there yet.
Right.
I think they're there now, where it's just, okay, now go see what you can do, because you've got a chance to do as great of things as you could possibly do in the NFL this year.
That's how I felt. And honestly, it's probably the first time since the Browns came back to Cleveland that I looked at the schedule, and it's a pretty tough schedule. I mean, you look around. I mean, there are a lot of good teams on that schedule, that, you know, even outside the division. But I honestly thought to myself, I mean, the Browns could have beaten the Chiefs in the playoffs last year, right? And I mean, they're at that place. They should be better next year. I mean, obviously, everybody's got to sort of maintain and develop and get better. But with that draft, I think that defense gets better. So yeah, the very first time that I can remember as a Browns fan, certainly since the Bernie Kosar days, that I looked at the schedule, and honestly, it was not – usually you're looking at the schedule and go, God, can they win five? I think they can win five. Maybe they can win four. I mean, you know, and this one I'm like, I don't know how they're going to do, but there's no game on this schedule that I feel like they cannot win.
Joe, what did you think about, you know, just Chiefs out of the gate, and then the other question is you've got Ravens by Ravens, but the Ravens have the Steelers in between there, so that's kind of a good thing. What did you think of that?
Well, I think Chiefs out of the gate is the best time to get them, to be perfectly honest. I mean, look, I know they're going to be fired up, obviously, after the Super Bowl disaster. But, you know, right out of the gate, who knows, you know, who's coming out. I mean, obviously, the Browns have had some pretty disastrous opening days. And so that's that's the toughest challenge in the NFL right now, I think, still is stopping the Chiefs. So, you know, it wasn't the best break, but again, I just feel like it's the whole country's going to be watching that game. Everybody's going to be focused on that game because of the playoff game last year, because everybody's going to want to see how good the Browns have become, how the Chiefs are going to respond to their Super Bowl loss. That game is going to be such an event. And so I was kind of excited, even though I know it's a tough way to start. I was kind of excited. The Ravens thing was just weird. I don't even know what to make of that. You know, that's just sort of having back-to-back games is just weird. I don't know. You know, but again, I mean, I think, for me, when I look at this thing, I think to myself, how good are the Browns now? And this is the kind of schedule that, to me, we're gonna find out. We're gonna find out how real that was, what we saw last year. But it felt real. You know, it feels like every player on this team feels like they're all on the rise, and it feels like this is a team that really can compete for everything next year.
Joe Posnanski joining us. Joe covers everything, but Joe, I know baseball is along with all Cleveland sports, your diehard love is baseball. And I want to ask you about your book in a little bit because, man, it sounds fascinating, and I can't wait to read it. But before we get to that, Indians right now, starting pitching's been pretty good. Bullpen's been terrific. Offense, eh. And yet there they are competing. And I've asked a couple of folks this week. Is this a mirage from a good start, or is this team capable of competing despite limitations in a number of areas, not only on the field but off?
Well, I'll tell you what. This has been such a weird baseball season, and I don't know how much longer it'll be weird. It might be all year. Nobody's hitting. Nobody around baseball is hitting. I mean, we are on pace to have the fewest hits per game in baseball history this year. Fewest hits per game. I mean, more than 1968, the year of the pitcher, more than dead ball. I mean, the fewest hits per game. So with that in mind, you know, the fact that the Indians really can't hit, the fact that, you know, other than it's, you know, Franmil Reyes running into a few balls and Jose Ramirez, you know, being still, I think, an elite player, they're not, I don't see much promise for them hitting this year. But that starting pitching stays together, which has obviously been a Cleveland strength for years now, and the bullpen keeps pitching the way they pitch, I'm not sure it's going to matter. I mean, when Kansas City had their great run, when they won back-to-back pennants and won the World Series, a big part of it was everybody in baseball was kind of down. You know, the Yankees were down, and the Red Sox were kind of down, and you know, it was just an opportunity, because the game had sort of shifted. It was an opportunity for a team to be, you know, to just kind of come out of nowhere the way they did. This Cleveland team, like in a normal year where, you know, you have to score four or five runs to win games, I wouldn't feel too good about it. But this year, where two runs will win you plenty of games, three runs will win you some games, I don't know. I mean, I can't tell you that they're not going to go on a long losing streak, because it could happen any time when you can't hit. That's a real problem. But in some ways, how they are playing matches up, I think, with how this year is going, which is not a bad place to be.
You know, there's a part of me that thinks, hey, the Indians could easily get no hit a third time this year.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh,
it
yeah.
doesn't, you know, you just look at the standings, it's just one loss. And I know that, like, there's this, I don't know, maybe no hitters feel like strikeouts now that, you know, people, batters go up there, they strike out all the time, not a big deal. No one says a word to them in the clubhouse about it. It's just a part of the launch angle, whatever. And so,
well,
I don't know, should we feel the same way about no-hitters?
I don't know if we should feel quite that way about them, but I got to say, they don't matter beyond the – it's not like the embarrassment of getting no hit. To me, like, every night somebody's getting one hit or two hit. I mean, it's, you know, that's where we are right now. So – yeah, you don't want to get no hit a third time and get yourself in the record books. I think the Mariners could get no hit any night. Any night the Mariners could get no hit. I would put Cleveland probably in that category. Kansas City any night could get no hit. I mean, there are a bunch of teams out there that right pitcher on the mound, they could get no hit. So I don't think you put too much stock in that. I think the what they have to do is find ways to scrape for runs. And, you know, one of the ways they're doing that now is they got a couple of guys hitting the ball out of the park. That's, I think, how it's got to keep going, because I don't think they're going to ever be the kind of team that can sustain rallies. But they're just going to have to pitch. You know, they're just and they've got, I mean, obviously after Bieber, you know, being as elite as he is, they've got a rotation and a bullpen that can be super effective. And that's the way they're going to have to be this year. It's a razor's edge, right? I mean, it's a very, very tough line to walk when you know every night you might get no hit. I mean, that's not the best feeling for confidence. But I think you just shake it off and go on to the next day. I mean, I think this team really will get one hit or two hit or three hit fairly often. But they're going to win some of those games too. I mean, if two of those hits are home runs and Bieber's on the mound or they get a great bullpen performance, I just think that's the way that 2021 is shaping up. You know, and who knows? Maybe things change. Maybe you know, the ball start leaving the yard, you know, once the weather gets warmer. I mean, you don't know how the season's going to play out. But I think it's very, very interesting that right now we are in a, you know, nobody's hitting. Nobody in baseball is hitting. And so Cleveland, you know, you can compete in that atmosphere.
Joe, your book, The Baseball 100, coming out in September, sounds like an absolute must-read for anybody who's a baseball fan. So I know I'll be reading it. I know Menigan will. I know Andy will. Mm-hmm. And it's a countdown of the 100 greatest players, but that's just part of it. Is that a correct way to sum it up?
I think that's right, and thank you for saying that. I am very, very excited about it. I mean, it is a countdown of the 100 greatest baseball players, but each player is, I would say, lovingly written about. I mean, this is their essays on each of the 100 players. That's what the book is. I've added a bunch of different things to it. And, you know, I hope if I did it right, it kind of tells you a little bit of the history of baseball through these 100 players. I hope that it comes across that way. But to me, what I hope is really, really fun. I think about myself as a fan and what I love to read. And a book like this, what really appeals to me is you can read it straight through. I mean, you can read it from number 100 to number one. I think it reads like that. Or you can just open it up and find a player that you love and read that essay. I mean, it's 300,000 words, so you're going to get your money's worth. And
wow.
It's every word. I mean, this really was, you know, I think that the way the publishing house, when I said it to my editor, he's like, it's like you spent your whole life writing this book. And it's true. I mean, everything that I felt growing up in Cleveland as a young baseball fan is in this book. I mean, this is sort of the book that in some ways I feel like I was meant to write. So I'm very, very excited about it. It's coming out September 28th. It is available for pre-order now, but it is, I think it's going to be a lot of fun for people.
So when you do the book like this, just walk me through that criteria again of how you say, and Indians fans, you know, I'm sure are going to be excited about a bunch of stuff in this, right?
Yeah. How'd you come up with the order?
Well, boy, that was fun and a challenge. You know, I there were a lot of things that went into the order itself. You know, I did try to use statistics. You know, that's how I'm, you know, bent. So I definitely used, you know, WAR and other advanced statistics to try to help me rank them. But I couldn't do that for the entire book because there are, I believe, 10 Negro Leaguers in this list. So obviously there are no statistics or very limited statistics for those guys. There's a Japanese player on this list. So I had to, you know, use a lot of judgment. I had to sort of compare people to their own time best I could. I'll tell you guys, I had a very fun. I did an event with John Grisham a couple of weeks ago.
Wow.
And I didn't know John Grisham at all, but he's a very, very nice man. He's a big baseball fan. And we were talking about his new book, which is a basketball book called Suli. And we were talking about it. And then in the middle, my book came up and he just started saying, well, what did you do with the steroid guys? Like, he was more interested in my book than he was in his book. So that's, I think that's part of the fun too. What do you do with the steroid guys? How do you, you can't discount them. Do you take something off of them? Do you rank them exactly where their numbers say they should be ranked? So a lot of thought went into it, and there will be many, many, many arguments. I already have a friend who has, for the last 2 weeks, been yelling at me pretty much nonstop because of a player I left off the top 100. So
I think it's gonna
be a lot of fun.
Wait, you got to help me out. John Grisham wrote a basketball book. Is there anything legal about it, or
there is nothing? It's actually really good. It is called Thule. If you have any Grisham fans out there, it is not a legal thriller. He's having a legal thriller come out later this year, but it is a basketball book. It's about a player from Africa who comes over to play here, and it's a little bit about the atrocities and difficulties of his country back home, but also him developing into a big time college basketball player. It's really, really fun. Yeah, so he's a big sports fan. This is his fourth sports book. He's written a baseball book called Calico Joe. Yeah. He's written a couple of football books. So he's a big, big sports fan.
Before you tell me that you can't give it away, you allowed to tell us who's at number one?
It's
okay if you can't.
No. Getting back to Grisham, when we were doing the event, he said, Joe, who's number one? And I said, John, I'm not giving away the ending of your book. I mean, that doesn't seem fair. So people do know. I mean, I have written it. Number one is Willie Mays, and it is going to create a stir, obviously, because of all the people who love and think Babe Ruth should be number one, and nobody else could possibly be number one when you consider how Ruth towered over the game. I explain it in the book, but I also understand, counter arguments. I think Ruth could have been number one. I think Hank Aaron could have been number one. I think Oscar Charleston, the great Negro Leagues player, could have been number one. I mean, it's one of those things where you list them, but you know in your heart you're just kind of bluffing a little bit because so many of these great players could be moved around. But yeah, my number one ends up being Willie Mays.
That guy was awesome.
Will Indians fans be excited? Like, I'm assuming, I mean, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, we're going to see a few Indians in there? Or
Duke Sims?
No, Frank Duffy did not make it.
Oh, man.
I know. Yes, there are some Cleveland players in there. There are some Cleveland players in there. We can go to it, through it when we, I hope you'll have me back in September. I'll tell you all about it. But
Let's do it.
There are some Cleveland players in there, of course, and it is. And my essay. So I actually wrote a new intro to the book, and it talks about a little bit about me growing up in Cleveland. So that's a lot of fun.
Oh, so nice. That's why they're gonna. That's he hates New York. That's why I didn't make Babe Ruth number one. They'll read that in the bio. All right, so let's play one little game before we let you go here. So I don't want to know the exact number, but Jeff and I are now going to guess, out of the 100, how many Indians are in the book. Don't give us the number. Just tell us who's closer to being correct. Jeff,
okay.
Out of 100, how many Indians are in his book? What do you think?
Four.
I was going to go I'll aim a little higher so I can be right. I'm going to say there are seven former Indians in that book.
Okay, so of course I should know the answer to this, but I don't.
Oh, man.
I believe you're closer. I believe seven is closer, but it's people who
played
for Cleveland. I mean, you know, it's like there are people who are like full-fledged. Bob Feller is in the book. I will give you that one.
Oh, man, you gave it away.
I know. I gave one away for you. But there are. Yeah, I mean, it's guys like that who played their whole career in Cleveland, and then there are other people who played, for a little time in Cleveland, briefly in Cleveland, or maybe a big chunk of their time. I think it's probably closer to seven, but, man, I should have that list in front of me. Now, you know what? I'm not ready. The book doesn't come out for a couple months yet, so I'm not fully ready for my press.
Let me ask you one last question on it.
Yep.
Yes.
Any Indians from the mid-90s to 2000 era teams that are on it? I'll bet yes. I'll bet yes.
You bet right. You
okay.
Bet right.
All right, good. Okay.
All right. All right, now we're hooked. All right, can we pre-order the book or no?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Yes. The book is available, pre-order, everywhere, supposedly everywhere. I've seen it in Barnes & Noble and on bookshop.org and Amazon and independent places have it. So it is available for pre-order. It's a beast. This is one of the last thing I'll tell you about the book.
Sure.
It is a beast. So I have gotten what's called the galleys, which are the book versions that we send out to critics and early people. You know, it's like a little paperback version of the thing. It's a monster. It's like weighs like 4 pounds. It's huge.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, what's going to happen when they hardcover this book? So it will you will not feel cheated when you get the book.
Awesome.
I feel like I can say that.
Joe, thank you. As always, we look forward to talking to you, hopefully before the book comes out in September. So thank you, Joe.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Joe, all a pleasure. Right. Thank
Make
you.
Sure you're reading Joe. He knows the game. He knows all about Cleveland, and he knows baseball. And
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.